My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. Our guest today is Mark Welch, and today he'll be talking about some of the international areas that are served by U.S. ministers. They are called senior pastors, and we'll be hearing those reports from Mark Welch today. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Vic. Good to be here.
Mark, what is the scope of your work, and what are you responsible for?
Well, Vic, I'm the operation manager for ministerial and member services. We have three operation managers, and Peter Eddington is over media, Rick Shaby over the finances, and then I'm over pretty much anything that has to do with the ministry and the members, except for things that are directly under you, Vic, as president. So I oversee all the youth opportunities like summer camps, preteen, teen camps. I oversee young adult initiatives, things like that that we have going on, a number of focused education programs throughout the church, obviously the ministers here in the United States, and hiring and transferring ministers as we need to. Member concerns, you know, if a member has a concern, oftentimes I'm the one that deals with that. Ministers' concerns, I work with quite a few senior pastors, and they serve all around the world in a variety of ways. So it's been keeping me busy.
One thing you mentioned that I'd like to talk about, maybe focus this podcast on, is that you mentioned you were over a certain number of senior pastors. And this is a role of U.S. pastors who manage, who oversee areas around the world where we don't have where the church is directly under U.S. Supervision. And you have been, some of the senior pastors are over areas such as the Caribbean, Central and South America, many in Africa, and Europe as well. And for that matter, the Philippines. There are areas that are associations that are affiliated with us, and then there are those that we directly oversee from the U.S. So you have a number of these men who pastor a U.S. church and then make periodic trips, sometimes up to three or four a year, to these areas. I know that with COVID this past year, a lot of that has been cut back, but we still have pastors who have gone to Africa and South America, you know, to visit our brethren. But tell us about some of your work in these areas, the people you oversee, and what connection you have with them.
Certainly. First of all, let me just report a little bit on Nigeria and Ghana, where Paul Moody and Ben Light. Paul is the senior pastor. Ben Light's been assisting him. He wrote me a little report here recently. He says he has a planned trip for the end of February, so he hopes to go to Nigeria and Ghana in the next couple of months. He says this is going to be his third trip to Ghana since COVID-19 began, but his first visit to Nigeria in about 2 years. He says, due to the easing of various travel restrictions and quarantine requirements, I can now return to Nigeria to see our leaders and brethren face to face. We're anxious to be reunited after such a long period of separation. And that's one thing I really know all of our senior pastors have in common, is they really want to get out and visit. They want to be able to see the brethren. They want to be able to work with the local ministry. But it's been very difficult with COVID. Paul continues to say, traveling in the COVID age presents the need for a much more detailed and challenging travel schedule. Moving from country to country requires COVID-19 testing before departure and after arrival. Travel plans have to be made carefully, ensuring accredited testing labs with timely test results are booked in advance along the travel route. In addition, each country has different timelines for testing. It's essential to be current on the frequently changing requirements for travel, or a major delay can occur. A minimum of 5 COVID-19 tests will be required on this trip to Nigeria and Ghana.
Oh, it's not as fun or romantic as it used to be.
It really isn't. It's been a major challenge for them, but they're still very, very dedicated and committed, and they're willing to do this. I know George DeCampos had to jump through similar hoops when he went to Brazil last year, and the men are willing to do it, but it's very challenging. Some countries much more challenging than others. Paul writes, in the midst of challenges, God's people in Nigeria and Ghana have faithfully continued to grow closer to God and one another. In-person Feast of Tabernacles gatherings have continued. United Youth Camps are once again being planned for this year. And I'm grateful to say, too, that we hope to have a complete United Youth Camp program here in the United States. We had to cancel a few of our camps last year because of restrictions that were just too much. But hopefully things will be better this summer. So we're planning full speed ahead, looking forward to quite a few summer camps and preteen camps here in the United States. And I'm grateful that they'll be able to have these United Youth Camps in Ghana and Nigeria. Paul Moody writes, technological advances have been made in certain Nigeria congregations, allowing them to webcast or receive Sabbath services over the internet. A community center, a church hall, is being constructed in Kwanyako, Ghana, with another congregation making improvements to their facilities. Leadership workshops are often conducted by the visiting senior pastor. So there's still a lot going on. Things are moving ahead in the work. So it's exciting to know that not everything's on hold.
Well, one thing that we have found that while we haven't been able to travel to those areas with senior pastors, some of the areas have really stepped up. It's really caused a spurt in growth of responsibility and accountability. We've been just very, very happy with some of that. Not that we don't want our people to go there, because we really feel like it's important to these areas that often require a very heavy subsidy from the U.S. just to function. But we have found that even though we've been restricted in travel, that the work has still gone on in those areas.
Very true. And adversity oftentimes brings different benefits. So people rise to the occasion, and that's certainly been true with the ministry, not just the senior pastors traveling to other countries, but here in the United States, and the men stepping up to check in on those who haven't been comfortable or able to attend services for quite some time. So it's gratifying to work with such fine people, ministry and deacons and elders and members that are all looking out for each other, you know. So adversity does have some benefits, and I'm seeing that certainly across the board.
And it's like necessity is the mother of invention. Necessity is the mother of certain types of growth and things that couldn't possibly be done otherwise.
Very true. And I hope all of our members are paying attention to the e-news when it comes out, especially the praying for various countries around the world that Peter Eddington and the media department started doing a regular feature where different men in various countries, senior pastors oftentimes, but also directors in Australia or Germany or different places, asking for the brethren to pray for various things. So Paul did put a request out recently about feature is called Pray for the Gospel to Have Free Course.
Right.
So that's it's really a wonderful thing for our members to pay attention to that and really go to God in prayer. Because, for example, in Nigeria, Paul was talking about explosives, rocket blasts, people killing guards, freeing more than 1,800 prisoners before looting a police station. These are some of the things that happen in some of these countries that our senior pastors go to and our members live in day to day.
So we're not the only place that is defund the police or have tried to put the police down.
For sure. You know, I mean, some of these areas are just so much more oppressive than what we've ever had to even think of dealing with. So I really, my heart goes out to these members that have really had to be careful just to survive. He said it's estimated that hundreds have been killed due to actions of both parties, that is, the different sides of the government, as well as those who are rebelling against the government. He says one United Church of God congregation in Owerri, Nigeria, is in the middle of this unrest. As a faithful group of believers, they put themselves at risk each Sabbath to travel the dangerous roads and assemble. They've requested that no other UCG leadership visit them at this time, due to regional insecurity and threats to those who are not Easterners. Their ability to visit potential members, do outreach with the gospel message, and conduct public Beyond Today lectures has been greatly hindered. So he concludes by saying the Apostle Paul asked the church to pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, quoting 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. So he's asking that we all join him in praying for the brethren there, praying that the gospel efforts would go out to southeastern Nigeria. So I'm certainly hoping that Paul will be able to make that trip this calendar year in 2022.
I think it's end of February or so.
I think, that's what it's planned for.
I really admire him for his courage.
Yeah, that's not an easy the easiest place to go visit for sure. You just don't know what could happen over there at any time because it's just not as safe as it is over here in the U.S. We take a lot for granted here in the United States.
Well, I have a lot of respect for the senior pastors because they have their job here, you know, and they're supposed to, their responsibility is to their congregations here first and foremost. And traveling overseas is the first couple of times is very exciting, but then when you do it over and over and over again on long flights to Africa that last 14 to 17 hours at a whack, you know, being all crunched up and then have to come back and possibly missing flights in between, it gets to be a very, very wearisome thing.
I do want to travel to some of those areas, though, because I haven't been to as many areas as you've been to, Vic, and I would like to get that experience one of these days.
Yeah, so I hope you do. I hope you get a chance to see, you know, kind of not only the people there, but to see what our pastors actually do. And some of them have been able to conduct training programs. They've been able to conduct camps. We have found that, you know, in Malawi and Zambia, in these areas, that they have had summer camps, which is winter time here, but it's summer down there, been able to have very, very successful events.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing some of that visiting because as a pastor for many years, I really enjoyed visiting members in their homes because there was such a connection that was made being in someone's home and seeing how they live and just being able to share that, sitting down in the living room together and possibly sharing a meal together. You don't ever forget those things. You know, there are connections that are so powerful that hopefully I'll be able to do that with some of our senior pastors and get to visit some of our elders who serve faithfully and some of our deacons and some of our members who serve so faithfully in much more difficult areas than I've had to. You know, I've had a sheltered life, Vic. It's been a wonderful life in many respects. I just haven't had the same kind of hardships that, you know, I know some of our members have to go through.
Yeah, even this morning we had a conference call on Zoom with Malawi, you know, and dealing with problems that people have and the same types of issues that people have over here. I'm just amazed that you have people who are quite different economically, racially, but they still have all the same needs, the same disagreements and issues. We as human beings are very, very similar. And that's what's interesting about how diverse we are, but on the same token, that's how the same we are.
Very true. Human nature, you know, God created us all in the same manner, in the same way. So we have so many similarities. So it is important to spend some time getting to know each other and being able to connect and help each other out. I might give a report on Angola, the church in Angola, which I know a lot of us have been following that with interest because there's somewhere around 5,000 people that are very much in sync with the United Church of God.
They're a partner church.
Right. Yeah. George DeCampos explains that. He says the church in Angola is going through a process to become an organizational partner with the United Church of God. And this is a partnership duly approved by the Council of Elders in which every elder of the church in Angola must sign compliance with UCG's fundamental beliefs, commit to the Ministerial Code of Ethics, sign compliance with the church's policy regarding sexual conduct and so forth, amongst other organizational requirements. This will be balloted and probably receive unanimous support during their annual General Conference of Elders and Leaders in July this year. So this would also effectively allow them to adopt the name United Church of God Angola. So that would be wonderful. So I hope that that goes through, and we can all join George DeCampos in praying that that will be the case.
Yeah, they're huge. I was there in 2019, and that's the biggest group I had spoken to in many, many years. We had about 1,800 people for church services in a big, well, the building was too small for it, but they had kind of a area, kind of a courtyard between their school and their building, and the people everywhere And it was just wonderful.
That sounds really wonderful. That sounds like Feast of Tabernacles.
It was.
Plus.
You know, one thing about international areas that the rare areas that we're probably most successful in are areas that speak English, obviously. And so that's why East Africa, which used to be British administration, and also South Central Africa with Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, you know, those countries have, you know, we have people we can talk to right away. They understand this. But countries like Angola is Portuguese speaking. Not only do they speak Portuguese, but they hardly know any English at all. I mean, they're just very difficult to communicate with them. So in those countries, and to a degree lesser in France, you know, those who don't know French just kind of get cut out of the conversation.
Right. I know it's interesting that God has provided some people, but not an overabundance. We don't have a lot of Portuguese-speaking ministers. In fact, I think Jorge de Campos is our only Portuguese-speaking minister at the moment.
He's really good, but there's nobody even close to him.
He's very hardworking, that's for sure. I have a report from Mario Sigle in Latin America that I'd like to share with you. He says the number of brethren who attended in 2010 was 443 brethren in United, and now in 2022 there are 600 brethren in 12 Latin American countries. So that's pretty good growth, and it's exciting to hear that. You know, I wish we were growing that much all across the United Church of God. There's a team of 10 ministers and wives that serve the entire area. Mr. Siegley writes, we have around 10,000 subscribers to the Spanish Beyond Today magazine, and we've dubbed into Spanish over 100 Beyond Today programs using YouTube with great results. We have a robust Spanish website with an incredible number of 130,000 unique visitors a month that are connected to the UCG.org website. He says, unfortunately, the Spanish region for the second year in a row has been deeply affected by the different COVID variants. And he goes on to write about, you know, there have been severe COVID outbreaks. In fact, most Spanish areas have only been able to meet through a webcast. So that's unfortunate, but it's also allowed various ones to step up. He says this did not curtail the enthusiasm and resourcefulness of the ministers and members in the regions. People got used to using Zoom, YouTube, or other web platforms to watch the services. There were numerous Bible studies given throughout the region after services. Sabbath school classes were also held in a virtual setting. We initiated a radio program in Chile, and Mario Sigle, the senior pastor, has made some of the radio programs and also carried out Friday Bible studies for the different regions. He says another innovation was to have speakers from different countries participate in the Zoom services. In that way, brethren can listen to different speakers from other nations. So, and he writes a lot more about having a virtual ABC sampler last August with 20 hours of class that were broadcast from Mexico to the Latin countries with over 400 participants. So again, the work goes on despite COVID and anything that Satan can throw at us. You know, God still gives us some little strength. So it's good to know that.
When we were able to travel to these areas and go to them, you know, I'm talking about 10, 15, 20 years ago, communications weren't as good, you know, and they were expensive. And there wasn't video of the way we have it now. So that curtailed things. That really slowed things down. You had to be there. But now we do have some of the modern technologies, even though it's still very, very important to be in person. I think it's important to see each other in person. But you can have services, church services. You can have educational seminars. You can have women's, you know, meetings, all kinds of exciting things now with modern technology.
God does provide for us, and it's good to see that. It's good to know that. Mario continues about the women's clubs. He says they've developed women's clubs with good results in the last couple of years, especially in this time of pandemic in which they now have an online format. So it's been of great benefit and has helped the women to maintain contact with each other. My wife's been doing that as well here in the United States, along with Kay Schreiber and Lisa Fenchel and various ones. They've had women's initiatives around the country for years now, and now they're meeting more online and having those types of meetings, as I know you're well aware, since you supervise that going on. Mario Siegle also mentions special music, how several special music Zoom performances have been organized for women, men, youth, children, as well as entire groups for the presentation. So they're continuing to worship God through song, even though they're not able to always meet together in person. They're still using those virtual performances and choirs and that sort of thing. He says, for 2023, we do hope to travel more to the different areas. He says, I was able to visit Chile in October, but it was tough to enter and leave the country. He had to quarantine, and so you have to jump through quite a few hoops in order to make things happen these days. Despite COVID, he says, we still had a summer camp in Chile, Guatemala, and Colombia. He mentions financial hardships, and I think that is something that we in the United States don't realize nearly as much as people in other countries have had to, especially during COVID. He says there are many financial hardships in the area, but the brethren are doing the best they can, and the income in the area has not gone down significantly. We also have the LifeNet scholarships for 36 students in the different Latin countries so they can have financial aid and finish their university degrees. LifeNets also provide school supplies for 90 church children in Guatemala and El Salvador. So I know he's grateful that, in fact, he says that all the brethren are very thankful for the generosity of the U.S. for helping fund their being able to meet and have ministers in the area. He says we continue to train young persons, so eventually some will be able to step up and be part of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Mario Siegle's report from Latin America.
We have really enjoyed working with Mario Siegle. And I traveled with him in 2018 to Chile and Argentina, visiting the congregations there, and found that to be just very, very interesting. Of course, I had to be around him like I was with George for Portuguese. I had to be around Mario for speaking English. But I do know that we have helped out a lot with scholarships. Our scholarship program actually began in Guatemala and El Salvador. And we also started not only helping students become educated, but after they became educated, we helped them to get into work. And the most notable was in El Salvador, where we had a whole dental office that was shipped down there. A dentist retired and said, you can have my office.
Wow,
and he had
nice.
even had it professionally packed and was put on a container and sent down to Central America. And these students that graduated with a dental, you know, as dentists, were able to get on with their occupation by having all this equipment. And they were way ahead of their peers who had to wait several years before they could acquire this type of equipment. But it was really gratifying to see that. And to me, that gives me a great sense of satisfaction to work in that way with people.
Well, I know LifeNets has helped in many, many countries around the world for quite a few years now.
22 years.
22 years. Okay, the next report I got from Monty Knudsen, who's our senior pastor over in Kenya and East Africa and countries in that area. He says, John Elliott and I are planning a trip to East Africa. I think Mr. Elliott was there some years ago and turned that over to Monty Knudsen, and now they're going back together for the Spring Holy Days. We're inviting all the Good News subscribers to come to services in Nairobi for the last day of Unleavened Bread and the following Seventh-day Sabbath. He says, Simon Nganga, a local pastor in East Africa, has had difficulty getting his new passport. We have a number of needs in Rwanda, Burundi, and Uganda that need to be attended to. Without the process of the government getting him a new passport, he's unable to travel out of Kenya. He's been waiting for some time for his new passport, so he's asking that we pray for these two issues, for their trip for the Spring Holy Days, and also that Mr. Nganga will be able to get his passport.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've got another report here from Johnny Lambert.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know Johnny Lambert quite well, don't you? You've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, Johnny is the senior pastor for Scandinavia and Eastern Europe.
That's right. Johnny says, we have a Karen couple living in Kemi at the north of Finland, originally from Thailand, I think.
Right. Actually, from Burma. They were refugees in Thailand. And then they've been able to get out of a refugee camp, but shipped from the jungle to the Northland, to Nordic countries.
Yeah, very interesting. So now they live in North Finland near the Arctic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret and Chloe Gaydo.
Yep.
Chloe Have you
Gaydo.
Met them, Vic?
Oh, yeah. I was up there at their home several times. I baptized Margaret in very, very cold water.
Wow. I can only imagine. He says Chloe Gay has a problem with his urinary tract and is scheduled for surgery soon. They're both very faithful people and would appreciate prayers for both of them. So please pray for Margaret and Chloe Gaydo. He says because he can do it in the Karen language for several years, Chloe Gay has been conducting Passover for the few Karen, is that how you pronounce that?
Karen.
In the Scandinavian area, before being accepted as refugees by the nation of Finland, they lived for 40 years in a tent in Thailand. Can you imagine living 40 years in a tent? Some people don't like to go camping at all.
No, but they're the result of a civil war that's been going on for many, many decades.
He says, from Central Russia, we had a contact from a Russian who identified himself as Brother Yakislav?
Vyacheslav.
Well, you would know a lot more about that than I would. And a second man who identified himself as Brother Victor.
Oh, yeah. Every other person is a Victor.
I don't think that's probably you, so I'm assuming that's a different Victor.
There's lots of Victors.
He says they live in Central Siberia. I was very surprised because Brother Vyacheslav sent the contact directly to my email. They're very knowledgeable about many Bible subjects, and he's very qualified to converse with us in English. It's the most unusual occurrence. He says, we're still hoping for the opportunity to return to Estonia soon. So please pray that Mr. Lambert will be able to make that trip to Estonia and his wife as well.
Mm-hmm. Hazel.
Yep. Hazel. All right. Here's a report from David Dobson, who over the Philippines. He's our senior pastor over the Philippine work. He said just over 2 years ago, Vic, Bev, Daris, Debbie, Earl, Denise, and I, he's talking about Vic and Bev Kubik, Daris and Debbie McNeely, Earl Romer, and his wife Denise and himself, they conducted part one of a pastoral development program.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, COVID got in the way. They were hoping to do part two the following year. So they're still waiting on that part two. He says international travel from the U.S. has remained closed except for Filipino visits or citizens. The UCG bylaws of the Philippines sets the second Sunday of January as their as the annual National Council meeting. So they just conducted that here just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are moving along. A new budget was just put forward for the next fiscal year. It's been approved by the council there. He says the Philippines continues to enforce very strict regulations regarding COVID. At times, the regulations are relaxed and brethren are able to gather together for church and social occasions. A bit later, a new COVID outbreak takes place and the members must then return to virtual meetings. This presents many challenges in planning for weekly Bible studies, Sabbath services, summer camps, and that sort of thing. He said, we would appreciate prayers that the pandemic will diminish so brethren can meet together to worship God and fellowship with each other. Prayers would also be appreciated that international travel will open up so we can resume our annual visits. So I know a lot of these men are anxious to get back and and get to those countries and see those men and women that they've been serving for a number of years.
Well, we have really enjoyed these reports, Mark. It's been really great talking about some of the international areas that you have. The sun does not set on the churches of the United Church of God, and it's been very, very good.
Well, there's nothing more exciting and more important than spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world.
Mm-hmm. So anything else you'd like to say about MMS before we sign off?
Well, I've got a few more reports I could share.
What you got?
Or I could hold them for later, but here's one from David Schreiber from
India.
India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Pakistan.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Things are moving in Sri Lanka, but not very fast. You know, it's very slow over there. Plans are still progressing to complete a registration process. Our attorney, Larry Darden, has been working on that for quite some time. They hope to officially register United Church of God in Sri Lanka. So please pray that that would be the case. He says the pandemic has prohibited Jolinda Schreiber, David's wife, and I from visiting Sri Lanka in 2020 and 2021. Sri Lanka has had numerous full and partial lockdowns due to the pandemic, and services during 2021 has been prohibited several different times. The greatest disappointment was the inability to meet as a group for the Feast of Tabernacles in 2021. He goes on to talk about the severe economic challenges. I found this very interesting. He says, our brethren in Sri Lanka are in the midst of severe economic challenges because of the pandemic. COVID has affected several of our members' ability to make a living. Many of the brethren have lost income for months, especially those in the transportation industry, such as Uber drivers, and those in the food and hospitality business. We've been providing some emergency assistance for food and necessary living expenses for our brethren in Sri Lanka. Local donations and a donation from the Good Works, as well as Life Nets, was a huge blessing in 2021. So that's another thing to pray about, and maybe to open up our wallets and send a little more money to Life Nets or to Good Works so that they can get those monies put to good use, helping people that really need the help. Some people, I remember hearing that some people haven't basically had an income since COVID hit. You know, it's affected them that drastically, and they've had to really subsidize some people in some parts of the world. So Mr. Schreiber hasn't been able to travel to Sri Lanka, so he's adjusted the speaking schedule. So Friday night at 11:30 p.m., he gives a sermon to the brethren there who meet at 11 a.m. He also mentions how they're translating various booklets over into Telugu and Hindi, the Hindi languages, which is quite a undertaking. But we have Ezekiel Polinati, who is here at ABC.
Right.
You and I both know Ezekiel, but he's been helping to translate these booklets. Others have been helping as well. They're doing the Road to Eternal Life and Sunset to Sunset, our Sabbath booklet. So the Schreibers are definitely looking forward to getting back over to these countries. Bangladesh and Pakistan is another couple countries that they do serve as well. There's a group of about 30 in Pakistan who meet in one of the homes for a Thursday evening Bible study. Mr. Frank Reckerman and David Schreiber have been conducting the Bible studies on the first and third Thursdays of each month there. In Bangladesh, there's also a small group which meets together each Sabbath to study the Word of God. Our prospective UCG member leads the group there. So our men are willing to sacrifice and to do these things so that people can be served. So it's very wonderful to hear that kind of dedication from our senior pastors. We have a lot of dedicated people that have given their lives in service to God and to Jesus Christ. So
it's just been great talking to you, Mark, today. I'm sure that everybody will have really enjoyed getting this up-to-date story about some of the international areas that you have oversight and communication with all these pastors who share these anecdotal experiences with you.
Vic, I just have one more. It's a short one.
Let's hear it.
I'd hate to leave Chuck Smith out.
We don't want to leave Chuck Smith out.
Chuck's really a hardworking man, and he's got Jeff Lockhart to help him out, and now Andy Diemer is also helping out in Southern Florida, and also going into the Bahamas and Puerto Rico. Actually, they haven't been able to go to Puerto Rico, but they're hoping to get something going. We have a number of prospective members that have been reaching out to Chuck Smith. So he's really hoping to develop that in the coming years. Jeff Lockhart has been able to go to Jamaica, so we're grateful for that. We have two congregations. I think they may be combining into one, if I understood Chuck correctly here just a week or so ago when I spoke to him. But in Jamaica, they're able to meet each Sabbath, I think, in a building there, as well as Bahamas have been meeting in it. I'm not sure if that's where they have the new building. Are you aware of?
You know something? I'm not really too sure about the exactness of it. I heard about.
Oh, you know, I think that's talking about Haiti, because they built a new building in Haiti. In fact, Chuck Smith oversaw the construction.
Right. No, that's Haiti.
That's Haiti. So they are meeting in Haiti, but that's a very dangerous country. They've been kidnapping people on the streets, holding them for ransom and things like that. So we haven't been able to get into Haiti for a while. But, you know, there's been a lot of lockdowns, except for Jamaica. And I think St. Lucia, where they had the feast site, which was very successful this past feast.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed today's Inside United podcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org. And please tell your friends about our weekly podcast. You can find us on the homepage of UCG. Go to the main menu bar and click on the podcast button. Also, we're on Spotify, and you can find us through your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app. So thank you for listening. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.